So yeah, I'm trying not to have an ugly attitude about the lights because I know they're supposed to be a certain way, but how many of you know there's sometimes we can have an ugly attitude about Christmas when we know we're not focused on it in the right way? And what I want to kind of unbox for you today is the idea of something that's going to fill in this blank for us today in the blank of Christmas. But I really want us to realize and take a step back into time because there are so many words that could fill in this blank. The ugly Christmas sweaters of Christmas, the carols of Christmas, the songs of Christmas, the sermons of Christmas, the trees of Christmas, the ornaments of Christmas, the manger of Christmas. There's so many things that we could do, but today I want to focus on a single word that we're going to kind of just discover together as we move forward. But again, like I said at the outset of our service, I want to invite you to take a step back in time because I want us to take a step back into time to realize the impact of what happened in this moment. But there's also going to be a few other moments we're going to take some time hops around today in just different stories to unbox the blank of Christmas that I want to share with you. But I want to also say we can have an ugly attitude about Christmas, and there's so many different environmental things, things in our lives that can surround us, that can steal the joy of Christmas, that can steal the love of Christmas, that can steal the gift of Christmas, because according to an NBC News poll, 45% of Americans would prefer to skip Christmas altogether due to the financial pressures alone. 45, almost half of Americans would prefer to skip Christmas just because of the financial pressures that it puts upon them and their household. According to the American Psychological Association, 38% of Americans said their stress level increases due to the pressures of the holiday. Can I get an amen? Like the idea that you're like, oh my gosh, I have to wrap how many gifts? I have to do this. I have to face traffic in Fairview Heights. I have to do all these different things. The list goes on and on and on of things that steal what Christmas is all about. And if I want to encourage you today, can we refocus? Can we take a step back into time to remember something significant that happened that initiated this whole Christmas thing? And every moment we try to fill something else in that blank other than the right thing, is when the true meaning of Christmas is lost. So if you're sitting in here today and you just love Christmas, you've had it up since after October 31st, like you are ready for Christmas, or if you're in here today and you say, I just don't like what the holidays remind me of. I don't like the brokenness that I feel. I don't like thinking about that person that's no longer in my life that used to celebrate holidays with me. I want to speak to each and every one of you, wherever you are in your journey, because there's something we can focus our attention on today that can truly set our focus on the right thing. And the true meaning of Christmas can be unboxed and cherished and held close this morning. Because you may be those bah humbug, but if I could take us our first time hop, we're going to go back to this. And if you want to close your eyes, you can do that too. But imagine when you were a kid, when you ran to the tree. Maybe what was your favorite gift you ever got? You know, you asked for it that year and you just knew it was going to happen for you. You knew you were going to run to the tree and there it was going to be. Can you remember the hope and the anticipation that you had in that moment? The excitement of running down the stairs or running down the hall or running to the tree or, Mom, Dad, wake up, wake up, wake up. But maybe how many of us as adults still run to the tree with that same hope and anticipation? Probably not. You're probably not turning over to your spouse, wake up, wake up, the credit card statement came. It's going to be fantastic. No, that's not even it either. Because I think somewhere between the magic of Christmas that's experienced through the life of a child, something creeps in and kind of steals the true meaning of Christmas from us as adults. Some may call it life. Some may call it just the situations and loss that you're facing, but there is a gift for you still today. That with the same hope and anticipation that you had as a child, you can run to something else. Maybe not the base of a tree, but there's a gift that you can run to this morning that can give you the hope for the season that lies ahead. So in your journey, there are struggles. There are things that can come in and steal the hope and the anticipation for us. But can I say this Christmas season, there's hope for us. There's hope for you. Because in each of us, there is a need for hope. In your own life, if you could do a quick time travel again to a moment where you felt hopeless, you needed hope there. in a moment where you felt lost, you needed to have hope that there was going to be something on the other side. Because if I could say it this way, hope is transitional in nature. It's transitional in the who's, the what's, and the where's of life. It's transitional in nature because it's the bridge between who you are and who you want to be. Hope is the bridge between what you have and what you want. It's the bridge between where you are and where you want to be. Hope is transitional in nature. It is the one thing that carries you through every season of your life. Because hope is transitional because it does make sense of the who's, the what's, and the where's of life. Because it helps clarify the gaps that we call the when's and the why's of life. Because in those moments, where have you asked yourself, God, when is this going to happen? God, why did this have to happen? Can I tell you, there's hope that comes in the midst of struggles. There's hope that comes in the middle of storms. Because in each and every one of us, there is a need for hope. And again, there is hope for you today. But kind of unbox this story. We're going to turn to the Christmas story here in a little bit. But I actually want to share another story that's very close to my heart because it's tied directly to my family. And it's a story from my brother-in-law Mark and my sister Tara on a journey that they went on of hope. And this is not a journey that I would wish on anybody else, but it's one of those things when you look back, you see the fruit of what God did in the middle and how hope made sense of the winds. Hope made sense of the whys. Because hope is transitional in nature. Because in March of 2015, my sister was driving to drop off one of her kids to daycare, and it was almost undeniable that she heard God just whisper something to her. That as the mother of three healthy, wild, and crazy, enthusiastic, energetic boys, they call me Kunkel, she knew there was something else that she needed. She knew there was an aspect of their family that was missing, and it came in the form of a fourth child. And so as the mother of three healthy boys, she started hammering on her husband, like, you know what? I know we just built this new house. You know what? I know it seems like our life is coming all together. They're all out of the house, into daycare. They're all out of diapers. This is wonderful, but I really feel that God has called me and called us as a family to be a family that has a fourth child. And like anybody, they set out on that journey to make their four a reality. And so that happened in March of 2015, but then something else happened, because Mark and Tara started off with their number four as they had before, but as many of us, they started off full of hope and anticipation towards the gift that they desired, but then creeped in what I like to call the thieves of hope. And can I tell you today, you may identify, maybe not with all the elements of their stories, but with these very thieves that we talk about, that come to steal the hope that you desire to have for your life, the hope that you know you need in this transitional period of your life, but it's the hope that the enemy knows if he gets it from you, he can keep you where you're at and keep you from the gift that God has for you. And so they started off well, but then came what I like to call strike one. Because in October of 2015, they figured out they were pregnant and very excited and started off in this journey. The nursery was being prepared. UPS packages were happening left and right. And again, we were wondering about what credit card statements were going to come. Like Mark was thinking, do I have to get a second job just to clothe this child? Because they also discovered this. It was their fourth was going to be their baby girl. Their first baby girl. What they truly desired and hoped for. But in the midst of this journey, around the 20-week mark in February of 2016, they went into a doctor's appointment where they couldn't find a heartbeat. And at 20 weeks, hope was lost. Strike one. And at 20 weeks, there's the pain of having to give birth to a child that's lifeless, to parents that find themselves hopeless. But in the midst of this journey, they tried to stay strong because they know God is who he says he is. So my sister was very strengthened in her faith. She drew closer to God and she pressed in. But nonetheless, this was strike one. This was loss number one. If I could say it this way, we find our first thief here. And the first thief of our hope is a delayed promise. When you set out on your journey expecting it to come in this when moment, or maybe you could say it this way, a delayed promise, maybe you said this expression, it didn't come when I hoped. How many of you maybe said that about your journey? In the midst of that delayed promise, hope just gets stolen from you a little bit. And you're like, okay, I thought I had this all together. I thought the plan was in place. I thought God was on my side, but this promise didn't happen. I'm sitting here where I should be celebrating life, but I'm grieving death. Where's the hope in that? But yet they remained strong in the midst of delayed promises, and they drew closer to God. And so in September of 2016, they found out they were pregnant again. Once again, a beautiful baby girl was going to be a part of their family. They're number four. But then comes strike two. They walk into the hospital room once again with no heartbeat, no life. Then they have to go to the same room as before and deliver their lost baby daughter as they did before. Maybe you've been in a spot where you've said, one time, I can handle. But two, I'm done. I'm out. Because when hope just feels like it's ripped from your chest, because as they carried the baby away from the room, I'll never forget the words my sister said when she says, it literally feels like my hope has left me. And where she was strong and she drew close the first time in the midst of delayed promise, another thief comes in and it steals your hope. Why? Because it's the unmet expectation. The second thief is an unmet expectation. It's the reality that, okay, I can take one strike, I can take one loss, I can chalk this one up to just a little bit of a setback, but what if you set out saying, God, you allowed this the first time, but you're gonna deliver on your promise this time, and then it doesn't happen that way. And you find yourself in the midst of an unmet expectation because it didn't come like I hoped. Scripture says this in Psalms 130, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen waiting in the morning. Put your hope in the Lord, for the Lord is unfailing, and with him is full redemption. So they could muster up the strength, although the grief and the loss was stronger than ever. In the midst of the delayed promise, the unmet expectation, they realized the true words of the scripture was, I have to hold fast to his word. I have to go back to that moment where I knew he spoke a promise of my life that you will have a fourth child and it will be of pride and joy to you. She goes back to that moment where she was in the car and experienced the hope when it was born in the promise. But then strike one, strike two, but yet, Psalms 130, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. We trust in the promises that he is faithful to his word, even when it doesn't make sense by the way we would say, even when it didn't come when we hoped, even when it didn't come like I hoped. Because there's this idea that expectations determine the healthiness of your hope. And what I mean by that is if your expectations are in a desired result and not in him, I promise you, you will always be disappointed. Because I set out on this journey, and maybe you've been there, and you feel a word, you feel a call, you feel a direction for your life. Maybe even if you're a senior and you're thinking about college, and you send off that letter, you send off that application, and you're full of hope, you're full of excitement for what lies ahead, but then the rejection letter comes back. Because your hope was, I'm going to get in. Instead of, my hope is, he's got my future in his hands. It's a dangerous spot, and we can set ourselves up for unmet expectations when we try to define the results for ourselves versus our expectation only being this: he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. So that hope stirred up once again, they went back to the mat to fight for their fourth. And in March of 2017, they found out they were pregnant once more. Again, to keep track of the time hops we're doing. This is 2 years from the start of this journey, of March of 2015. 2 years later, they're starting off towards their third. But sure enough, the 20-week mark comes, and in July of 2017, they lost their perfectly healthy baby girl. Mind you, every time they had the genetic testing done, mind you, every time they had all the tests done in order to evaluate, is it something we're doing? Is it something we're setting ourselves up for not success? But every doctor said, no, everything is normal. Everything is fine. There should be no challenge. But can I argue on their part? There was a challenge. Because here, they're in a moment where they experience the third thief of hope, and it's this: felt pain. When you feel the true pain of these moments, they rob you of your hope. Now, this can be a spiritual pain. This can be a soul pain. This could be a physical pain that just robs you of the energy alone to push forward, to push through in the midst of this transition. How can I hold on to hope? Because the pain just seems too strong. Because when they have to come home each and every time and tell their three boys what happens, how do you explain this to your three sons? But as they walked in the third time to tell their sons, this part breaks me. When the oldest says, we've lost the third one, but guess what? When we get to heaven, each of us will have one to hold and to hug. It's one thing for as an adult to feel hope in the midst of pain, but how do you coach a child through that? How, when everything in the pain seems so overwhelming, how do you push through? How do you lead your children to a place of hope in the midst of when it's strike one, it's strike two, it's strike three, you're out of there. There's no hope. All hope is lost. And I read this scripture different now than I ever have in Psalms 42:11, when it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. How many of you could be in a spot where you say, I feel the pain. I'm in the pain. I know the pain. I've seen the pain, and it has robbed me of my hope. Why are you so downcast? Because this part sucks. This part of my life is sucking the very life out of me. It's sucking the very hope out of me. When all hope seems lost, where do you go? I hope in my God. Because where else would I go? A doctor didn't have an answer. The parents didn't have an answer. The friends didn't have an answer. We have no other option but to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and say, although this world is robbing me of all hope, you give hope, and I press into you. Because we hear Mark and Tara's story today, but in it, how many of you hear your own stories? How many of you can identify with a delayed promise, an unmet expectation, or the felt pain? Because a story where we have to find hope in the heart of heartache is sometimes we even have to fight to keep it. And if you want to find the full journey of their story, they have a Facebook page called Finding Hope in the Heartache, where Mark, the father, just journals the entire process over these 3+ years of walking a seemingly hopeless journey, but in spite of the heartache, they find hope. Because it's a story where we have to find hope in the heartache and sometimes even fight to keep it. Because they were encouraged not to pursue having another child again, because at this point, statistically speaking, what is the likelihood that will happen again? But sometimes in the midst of these delayed promises, setbacks, and felt pain, God adjusts our perspective. God adjusts our walk. And where we can look back and we can say this is 3 years lost, or can we say these were 3 years where the greatest strength of character was ever developed in me? Maybe the moments where you're going through in your life today where hope seems lost, can it be that the greatest level of hope is yet to be poured out to you? Because they began a journey towards surrogacy, where I will spare you all the details, but they took the genetic material from both of them, they put it where it needed to go, and life happened in somebody else's womb, but their child was being carried by somebody else. The promise that God was giving them was being carried by someone else. And in this journey of surrogacy, there is that concern. When does 20 weeks come? Different oven. Same outcome. But 20 weeks came and went. 30 weeks came and went. And I'm delighted to say that on November 5th, 2018, hope was born. 3 years and three losses later, but if you look at me, hope was born to Mark and Tara. That is the faithfulness of my God. That is the grace that he extends to us. That is the hope in the midst of heartache that he gives, so much that just a few weeks ago we celebrated 1 year with hope. And this is just for the oohs and ahs, and because I'm a ridiculously proud uncle. If you could throw up that next picture. Hope Christine was born out of the midst of 3 years and three losses of severe pain, of delayed promises, of unmet expectations. God made a way still. In your life, God can make a way still. Hope was born to Mark and Tara, and today we can celebrate that hope was born to you. Because there is a need for hope in each and every one of us. Because hope is transitional in nature. It's transitional in the whos, the whats, and the wheres as we try to make sense of the gap called the whens and the whys of life. So today I want us to be inspired and encouraged to keep and find hope in our life. And to do that, I want us to set our eyes and our hearts on the promise of God. If we could, I want us to set our attention on the hope of Christmas. The hope that is Jesus. The hope that's available to each and every one of us. As we fill in this blank in pursuit of this true spirit of Christmas, we have to begin with the hope of Christmas. If you could put up Luke 2, 9 through 12, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them as the shepherds were in the field, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The gift of Christmas, the hope of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas starts right here. For each and every one of you, wherever you're at in your journey, hopeful, hopeless, or somewhere in between, it starts right here. A Savior born to all people. Because as you begin to unwrap the gift, can you as grown adults, can we as people of faith, as brothers and sisters of Christ, can we run to the manger, can we run to our Savior with the same hope and anticipation that he will be there? Because as we unwrapped the gift of Christmas, we see in this baby, we see in this life, something that he made available to us. when we look at the manger, when we look at Jesus, we have hope. We have hope for our future. We have hope for forgiveness. We have hope for a Savior. We have hope for healing. We have hope for redemption, because in the gift that is Jesus, there is the hope of Christmas. Because we talked about earlier the gifts that you've received. And while we can look back and take a step back in time and remember those gifts, maybe they were a Star Wars relic or a t-shirt or a cell phone or something that you unboxed and you were excited, but for a moment. But can I say, every time we unwrap this gift, it's new. Hope is new. Hope of healing, hope of redemption, hope of grace, hope of mercy, hope of a Savior, the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, and the hope for your life. But can I give you this encouragement from the life of Jesus, from the life of Mark and Tara? Hope starts small. It's not one of these things that you have to just be strengthened in a moment. I have full hope and I'm going to push through. No, sometimes the suck just keeps happening. The thieves just keep coming. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy hope. But can I tell you the end? There is one that came to secure it for you. His name is Jesus. So today we have the opportunity to intentionally recognize, remember, and reflect on the hope of Christmas, the hope of Jesus Christ. Because if I would, I want to put this next scripture up. You may be familiar with it. And I actually want to invite you to read this hope with me. John 3:16 says this, and read this with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On the other side of that manger is the hope of humanity. On the other side of that manger is the sacrifice of all sacrifices, the King of all kings, the priest of all priests, the hopes of all hopes. His name is Jesus. And he came for you. He came for me. Because in Jesus we have a promise fulfilled and a hope fulfilled. And it's not just something identified in a story of old. It's something identified in the story of Mark and Tara. It's something identified in your story just the same. There is hope for you. There is the hope of Christmas. If you could, I just want to invite you to bow your heads for a moment, close your eyes. I just want you to take you on this journey. Maybe you're in this room and you feel like all hope is lost. You feel like you've ran to everything, but those thieves, those delayed promises, those unmet expectations, those felt pains, they seem too big and too strong as you try on your own. But can I give you another option? Try the hope of Christmas. Try the hope that is Jesus Christ, because he's no longer a baby. He's a risen king, that for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That promise is available to you today. That hope is available to you today. The relief from the pain, the healing from the pain is available to you today. I want to give you the option and the opportunity to respond to hope today. That you may feel like you're 3 years and three losses from the promise, but can I tell you from their lives, push in to God. Push in to that relationship that changes everything. And all we have to do today is say yes to Jesus, yes to hope in the midst of a hopeless world, in a hopeless situation. So if you're here today and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to say yes to hope, I just invite you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for you to raise your hand to say yes to hope today. Saying yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And if we can, as one heart and one mind and one spirit, let's all say this prayer together for those who have raised their hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you for hope. I thank you for the gift of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, available to me, given for me, born for me, died for me, has forgiven me. Come and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And for the rest of you, I want to read this aspect of the passage from Luke. And it's not going to be available on the screen, but I just want you to think about this. Because the shepherds were quick to run and experience the gift and the hope that was Jesus, and then they went to tell others what they had seen. They went to tell others what they had experienced. There's moments in our life when we experience hope, maybe for the first time, and we get excited, and we want to tell everybody about it. But then there are moments where it's not so much about telling everybody as it is about just holding it close to our heart. Because in Luke 2, 17 through 19, it says, when the shepherds had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I have to think in that moment, maybe much like my sister. There's a moment where it wasn't about posting on Facebook and getting the blog post out there for everybody else to be hearing about this. It was just the beauty of the moment shared between you and your Savior, where you finally hold the promise in your hand, when you finally hold hope in your hand. You have to treasure those things and hold them close. So for the rest of you here who have maybe been in a relationship with Jesus and you've said yes to him, there still comes thieves to you just the same. But can you be like Mary? Can you treasure up the hope that you have now? Can you hold it close? Can you ponder the hope that has been given so that when the thieves may come, it's close to your heart, rooted in your spirit, and you're full of hope? Because this Christmas season is not just those who need a Savior for the first time. It's for those of you who want to say bah humbug because we've lost the spirit of Christmas, we've lost the hope of Christmas. Can I encourage you during this Christmas season to go on a journey with me back to the manger and see the hope of the world born for you? And with the same hope, the same anticipation, the same excitement, realize he's the gift new to you every day. Go ahead and bow your heads one more time as I pray for each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people who have attended here today, that they come in here with each and every one of their journeys, walking out the journey that you have called them to. But God, in the midst of each and every one of our journeys, there are delayed promises. There are unmet expectations. There is felt pain. But God, for my brothers and sisters here, I ask for hope to be renewed, hope to be restored where it seems all lost. I ask for you, Jesus, to come closer to them than ever before. Draw closer to them by your spirit. Draw closer to them by your love. Draw closer to them by your forgiveness. Because in the midst of every storm, you're there. In the midst of every moment, you're there. So, Father, I ask for them this morning that they would find hope, and they would find the hope that is Jesus, the hope of Christmas. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen and amen. Thank you so much.